I will drink until next morning.
What exactly did Jeremy Pruitt have to say in his post-game press conference against Auburn? We'll get into it in a little bit. Hour number two of The Blitz is live here on Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville, broadcasting live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios of Fan Run Radio. I don't know about you guys, but we sure had the White Claw flowing this weekend. Boy, did we need it for Saturday night. We are broadcasting live right now on the radio, 105.7 FM, 1340 AM. As always, the podcast is uploaded just moments after the show goes off the air. The Periscope is available to stream right now live on the Periscope, on the Facebook and Twitter accounts. You can go and check out fanrunradio.com. That is a great place to follow along with all the latest Tennessee news and coverage. Here are a couple of the headlines right now on the website. Same old song for the Vols, despite a big day from Eric Gray. Yeah, by the way, haven't talked about that yet, but Eric Gray showed out the other day. I mean, even though we point out a lot of the negatives, there's still positives. Eric Gray had a phenomenal game on Saturday. College football picks and preview. Five Vols to watch for the rest of the season. Caden Martin has his eyes set on 2021 and the recruiting process. Guys, there's so much to get into right there on fanrunradio.com. And then finally, last but not least, go ahead and check out the Fanrun Radio app. You can take the show, take the station, take the exclusive voluntary reaction headed with you anywhere you are headed throughout the weekend, throughout the week. Just go ahead and download the Fan Run Radio app for free from your app store and take it on the go with you. But of course, you already knew all that. Guys, hour number one is in the books. Hour number two on deck. We feeling good?
Feeling pretty good.
Can't complain.
I'm not going to lie. It's a little bit of a lethargic Monday.
Nah.
I'm trying to power through it. Today was such a lethargic Monday. I not only left my sunglasses at the house, I not only left my phone, my computer charger at the house. Chance, I walked out of the house today in my slippers. I didn't even put on real shoes today.
What's wrong with you?
Is there something wrong with not putting on real shoes before this?
Well, I don't want to wear my house shoes out. I'll get them all messed up, you know? It's just one of those mornings.
I think that you should be having a great morning, and here's why.
Okay.
You had a fantastic Saturday.
Lay it on me.
With some beautiful people.
Uh-huh.
Sunday, your Cowboys won a football game.
First place.
First place, baby. You're closer to first place in the first pick at 3-7.
I know. That. Doesn't that suck?
No, you could win the division. Go get them, boy.
Oh, my God. What a disaster.
Andy Dalton. That division is such a joke. Whoever wins that division is going to have a losing record. Such a joke.
Three.
Not even a losing record. Just an abysmal losing record.
And three. Thanksgiving's Thursday. Everyone's favorite holiday. You get to go see your family.
Rick hates Thanksgiving.
I don't know if it's everyone's favorite holiday.
No, I just claimed it to be, Chance. I don't think you understood. It's everyone's favorite holiday.
I don't really like the travel aspect of this year. Like, I'm not super thrilled about, you know, having to travel home.
But you get to see your family. They miss you.
It's fun. There's always fun. A little bit of a lethargic Monday. I'm trying to kind of, you know, get the wheels rolling a little bit. You know, I think what got us the most animated at the beginning of the show was when we were talking about some of these comments from Jeremy Pruitt after the game on Saturday. Kind of got the blood worked up a little bit. So let's inject some energy back into the show, at least for myself. And let's kind of finish out some of the comments that he had following the game on Saturday, because I think that we can take a lot out of this, much like we've kind of already done so far. So we've talked about, the first thing we talked about at the beginning of the hour, you can go and check that out in the podcast, was just his comment about the fans. Everyone kind of gave their opinion on, you know, how much of an importance that actually plays in, how much of a factor that might weigh in. So, you know, you can kind of decide on that with you want. But let's start with some of this other stuff. Here's what Jeremy Pruitt said about on being outscored in the second half this season, because the statistic has only gotten significantly worse. Here's what he said. I'm going to talk about this game because this is the one that just happened. In the second quarter, we had busted a coverage and they threw a touchdown. In the third quarter there, we put a good drive together. We turned the ball over and they ran it back 100 yards for a touchdown. So that's a 10-point swing. And we missed two field goals. We didn't get off the field on third down like we'd had to. A couple of them, I made bad calls. So there's a lot of things that go around. I think our kids played extremely hard. Any kind of takeaways from that?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, what?
Yeah. You know what? I realize this. It's obviously very hard to talk about a post-game press conference or something along those lines when everything is going to hell, basically. Because they're all going to be bad, and you can nitpick at everything. For instance, here in just the transcript of what he said on Saturday, there was multiple instances of kind of the way that he would justify a critical comment or something like that. He would always end it by saying, you know, but our guys worked really hard. I really love their toughness. It's like that's just an unfortunate thing to be holding on to this late in the season. But granted, at the same time, it's not like there's anything positive to talk about when the team is 2-5. So we kind of do have to nitpick. And is that fair? Not always, but it's where we're at.
I mean, your offense is just so unbelievably boring and dull and uncreative that I don't know. I mean, I don't know. It's just so frustrating. What's the number? Let's see. Let me find. I found the number a second ago.
Okay.
Number.
If you don't have it, I think I do as well.
It's like 150 something, or I don't know. It's over 100-14 that we've been outscored. I can't find it.
Yes, it's triple digits 14. At one point in the game, it was 98-7, and then that obviously ballooned a little bit.
But I mean, there's no excuse for that. I mean, that it's so frustrating. I mean. You have Tyson Helton, and the offense never clicks. You fire him. You bring in Jim Chaney, and it's just the same. It's just the same thing. And I don't know if I don't know if it's Pruitt, who is. I mean, they've said previous in the season that they all have input on who's the starting quarterback. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on. But it's just so frustrating. I mean, that we can't do anything different offensively. I mean, you've scored 14 points in the second half combined of your last five games. 14 points.
You know, an interesting stat that I would like to know is how many points they've scored off turnovers in the second half in those five games as well. That would be I would have to believe that we were getting outscored because ultimately they only need one more touchdown off a turnover just to tie, and that's just looking at how they scored from yesterday or from Saturday, and that's a huge problem. Over a maybe that happens in a half. And you're like, okay, that was a really bad half. They had more points off turnovers than we even had just points in the game. Maybe even look at that as a game, and you can kind of justify that to yourself. But when you're looking at it over this stretch of time, and you're saying you are giving them so many more points off of just turnovers than you can score yourself, how is every red flag not going up when you're saying they are scoring so many more points than us from our turnovers? Maybe not so many more. I don't have the numbers, but they're scoring more. I got to believe it's more.
Here's where the problem lies.
They're scoring from our offense.
Here's where the problem lies. He was asking on where Tennessee has improved over the last couple of weeks.
Okay.
This is what he had to say.
I'm interested.
I felt like we improved a lot offensively tonight. Talk about production. We were better on third down, ran the ball pretty well, created some explosive plays. So that was good to see. I felt like we've been pretty consistent all year on special teams. Tonight we missed a couple of kicks and had one really good kickoff return and one we probably should have fair caught. I mean, granted, we did run the ball very well.
Why did we stop the run?
We didn't really stop the run.
They were running well.
I mean, I know we needed to throw it to score quickly. They stopped it at a, but
I think most people's takeaway when they're saying they stopped it, you were just killing them on the run, and then you got pass happy there, and that's when he threw that pick six.
I mean, I didn't really think they got like overly pass happy. I think they happened to call a passing play, which you still have to do in football. But
You don't necessarily have to do that in football if the run's working like it was working.
I mean, you just have to have a little, some sort of semblance of balance. Well,
we say
there.
That, but they don't have any other problems sometimes running 50 pass plays.
And I think too, you say some semblance of balance, and I 100% agree with you. But that is in a kind of a little bit of a traditional football sense. Tennessee's offense is not traditional. Like we have a passing attack that is mediocre to horrible. No. Let's not forget it's literally a bottom two or three passing attack in the league. So it's not good. So when the strength of this offense is the run game, then I do think that needs to tip the scales a little bit. Absolutely, balance is important, but I mean, I think you got to go with what your strength.
Tip the scales, though. You ran it 42 times. Garantano only threw 23 passes, and I would say probably 8 of those passes came once you were in a situation where you had to pass the ball.
Yeah, I don't have every game or every play memorized, but I do remember thinking to myself during that game, man, it feels like. I know Tennessee, it seems like we need to pass the ball to collect the yards quickly, but it felt like we strayed a little bit from the run game. Either way, that's not the biggest problem of the day,
well,
of
you
the
want
games,
balance,
of the season, of anything.
You also want to take what defense is giving you.
I don't want like equilibrium. I just, you have to throw in a passing play or two or else the run gets taken away eventually is all I was saying. But, you know, I mean, you ran it 41 times. Garantano only threw it 23. So, I mean, I think you ran at the appropriate amount. And I think you could be very happy with most of what your offense did. They got over 400 yards, but the fact that you have the same quarterback that you know is mistake-prone hurt you when he threw the pick six. That's arguably a 14-point swing if you believe that you were going to score a touchdown instead in that red zone position. And then you're a senior kicker missing two field goals. That's another 6 points there. The offense... I mean, yeah, you could have gotten maybe a little bit of better execution in the red zone and not have to settle for those field goals. But they moved the ball. They did their job. The offensive line, for as much as we've critiqued them this year, did their job, and the run game was excellent.
Eric Gray moved the ball very well. 22 carries, 173 yards. I mean, averaged 8 yards per carry. That's stellar. And you can give me the numbers, you know, 41 rushing attempts to 23 passing attempts. To me, it was more situationally. Felt like situationally we abandoned when we maybe didn't necessarily need to. But either way, again, that's semantics. That's not the biggest problem of this team. It's not the biggest problem of this game. That wasn't the biggest problem of this weekend, nor the season. And that's why it's tough. Like, well, I would love to sit here on a Monday morning and talk about how great Eric Gray did. 173 yards is outstanding. Not to mention he threw on 50 extra receiving yards. The man had over 225 yards of offense alone. But we can't talk about that because it doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things. And even if we do want to look at that and talk about kind of maybe is that the problem? Or are we not maybe getting certain players in the offense right? That's not the biggest problem of this team. The biggest problem of this team right now, the biggest talking point going into the back half of the season is not on the field, it's off the field.
Off the field, just you can tell us a team that just they don't really care anymore. I don't think we'll see how much they actually care going into this weekend. And I'll say it like I said last week. I hope that they lose. Hope they lose so it gets them one step quicker. Tennessee outscored in the second half in this 5-game losing streak. Anybody know the stat on that?
We made it to it's somewhere over triple digits.
It's
to,
100,
not a lot.
108-14. In the second half is what you've been outscored.
And again, I'd love to know how many of those came off of turnovers because I'm 1,000% more or I'm 1,000% sure it's more than 14. He doesn't. I mean, they just, had seven of those last weekend.
That's the thing. He can't just. We can't just get just a pick. He throws some aggressive pick sixes.
100-yard pick six.
Like some aggressive ones. Ones just where had no business throwing. Like what's the guy? Smoke Monday.
Smoke Monday.
Well, Smoke Monday said after the game, quote, I knew the guarantee.
Yeah. He must have stared down his receivers.
He exposed JG after the game. But it was on blast.
Does anybody remember when I was watching that live? Like, you can literally see him as soon as he breaks. I'm like, oh, that's a pick. Like, you see him coming across your screen.
You just go, no.
And you know it. You know it. About 100,000 of us knew it, except for the quarterback.
Why are we so bad at tackling people that intercept footballs? We turn it over enough where you think we would have gotten better at tackling people. We had several people that had angles on him, and he was able to take it 100 yards. Just like the second Kentucky pick.
He would not.
Garantano just ran around in a circle around him, and he scored. Let's get better at tackling when we make all these turnovers.
Man, the crazy thing is, like, you guys are so right. Whether it's talking about the tackling, or whether it's talking about personnel, or the quarterback, or schemes, whatever, it's just. But I can't shake this feeling, and I don't know about you guys, I just can't shake this feeling of, like, the conversation about the eyes, meaningless. Is that the problem of the team? Preparation seems to be the problem of the team. Sometimes effort and execution seem to be the problem of this team.
Coaching.
That's why it's just, you know, it can get hard sometimes, because we do want to sit here and talk about some of the great plays on the field. Do want to talk about some of the schemes.
To me, it just...
But it's, after it's the day, so though, meaningless.
After the day, I don't talk bad about them anymore because it's stupid.
To me, it all goes back to his undying loyalty to Jarrett Garantano.
I think he might have a point. I don't think there is a quarterback on this roster. I don't think Bailey's that good. Call me crazy. I don't. Don't think Harrison Bailey's that good.
Why would you say that, though?
Because it's my opinion, and because it's what I believe.
Yeah,
I don't
I'm asking
think that
you
good.
Why it's your opinion.
Because he doesn't look like, when he does throw the ball, he kind of throws a little lofty ball out there. I don't like his ball when he throws it. I mean, I just don't. I think they went more after him, so they get Eric Gilbert, then he flopped on that.
Oh, I watched him for LSU this weekend.
Hey, call me crazy. We'll see.
Yeah, I am calling you crazy. I'm going to go ahead and call you crazy.
That's fully your opinion. But I don't think he's a great quarterback. I'd rather see Jimmy the Jet right now.
I just can't believe you can possibly make that judgment.
I don't think you can make that opinion because you've not seen a quarterback develop.
Well, I can because it's my opinion, so I can have an opinion that I don't think he's going to be a good – okay, I don't think he's going to be the guy.
I'm just saying –
there we go.
I'm just saying I don't know how you can say that. I mean, there's not been a quarterback developed in 3 years. I mean, you've not seen any improvement from any quarterback. Please tell me the last time. You've got nobody coaching over there. Harrison Bailey's not even taking a meaningful snap in a game. We can't even get anybody besides JG to play a snap that even means a damn. I mean, what are we doing? Obviously, it's not working with JG. And obviously, we're losing. We're losing with JG. So why not at least try something different? Try to give another quarterback some meaningful snaps that actually count and that actually carry some kind of weight. We're just spinning our wheels. We're not going forward. We're not going back. We're just stuck. And it's frustrating.
865-546-8200. If you would like to call into the show today, get in on this conversation. Man, let us know what you think about where this team is headed. Let us know about what you think. We've had a lot of deferring opinions here on this show so far today, but they've all been great. So give us a call. Let us know what side you're on, where you think you're going with it. Otherwise, we'll be right back after this break. Don't go anywhere. More from the Blitz right after this. And here we go, back here on the Blitz, 11:23 a.m. You got the fellas in house with you here on this abbreviated work week with Turkey Day coming up at the end of the week, or at least at the middle end of the week. But just want to let you know, hey, we still got wide open phone lines for the last half hour or so of the show today. Our phone lines brought to you by our good friends over at the law offices of G. Turner Howard. If you or a loved one, maybe you've been injured in some kind of accident, well, do the right thing and call the Knoxville-based law offices of G. Turner Howard III. Visit g3helmy.com or call them at 865-558-8030. Again, that's 558-8030, serving all of East Tennessee with over 20 years of experience. Hey, let the G3 team get you the money that you deserve. That's g3helmy.com. And remember, as always, that's G3 as in the number, not the word. g3helmy.com. All right, gentlemen. Let's see. I guess with it being a little bit of an abbreviated week, we certainly have much less time to get into all the sporting events and all the topics for this whole week. So,
I mean, we have to do confidence picks tomorrow, right?
Oh, man.
No, I guess I got to get...
I guess potentially. We could always...
Do we need to do them in the last segment today since you and Chance might not be here?
Well, we can always kind of work those in
on the fly.
Yeah, we can always work those in a little bit at the end of the either at the end of the show or maybe tomorrow or maybe just we put them in ourselves. But there's a ton going on in the sports world right now. I already told you a little bit about college football and some of the scoreboard from over there. How about checking in with the NFL a little bit from last night? You had a big game Sunday Night Football. Kansas City moves to 9-1 on the season. They defeat the Raiders 35-31, in which was an awesome game between these two AFC West teams. Again, Chiefs a little bit of a deficit there at halftime. They're able to bring it back. Chiefs look good once again, but maybe a couple cracks in the armor, or it's kind of that theory that, man, maybe the Raiders are good enough to beat anybody on any given night, even though they just won't.
Yeah, actually, I'm starting to buy into that.
I like the Raiders a couple weeks ago. I told you they were hot.
You did. You said they were hot, and I think I said that I didn't believe in them. I think that I'm starting to believe in them. I think that maybe they can get one of those extra playoff spots. They play the Chiefs well, man, and they had them. Just too much time for Mahomes. He did Patrick Mahomes things, and great game, great win. I know Andy Reid had said afterward, I think he got asked a question. He said he wasn't nervous because he has Pat Mahomes.
Yeah. And I wouldn't be either.
And that was his very honest exact quote. And I think that's the truth. Quote. Like, the guy on pace to probably win another MVP, on pace to get back to the Super Bowl. They just, even when you think you got them on the ropes like the Raiders did, they just have too much offensive firepower to be stopped. They can score at will at most times. That was a great game. Yeah. Congratulations to Brandon. That Colts-Packers game was good.
Yeah, I mean, it was a good game.
What?
The only time I'm rooting for the Packers
this
year.
Hey, man, I was rooting for them, too. They just couldn't get it done, and Colts came up. Rodrigo. Awesome game. Rodrigo Blankenship.
Rodrigo.
One of the best kickers in the league right now. Cowboys-Vikings. I didn't see that coming.
Gross.
Jets-Chargers. Chargers finally won one. Good, where they were up. Jets still almost scared them. And look at the Broncos. They won again, too.
Yeah, they took down the Dolphins. Tua got benched, although they say he will be back as the starter next
weekend. Who's the leader of that division is the Bills right now.
Yeah, the Bills are...
They had an off week this week,
7-2, I believe.
You know, the standings are really interesting. Talking about the AFC, here are your leaders, and here's what the playoff picture looks like. Not in order, but just the teams. So your leaders out of the conferences, the Bills in the East, the Steelers in the North, the Colts in the South, and the Chiefs in the West.
The undefeated Steelers at that.
And then each division is going to get two? Is that correct?
No. There are three
wild cards.
Yeah, there are three wild cards. The fifth is the Titans at 7-3. The sixth is the Browns at 7-3. And then the seventh is the Las Vegas Raiders at 6-4. They have the tiebreaker over the Ravens and the Dolphins based on best win percentage in conference games.
Oh, that's wild.
Yeah, so this year the difference, too, is that you won't have two teams with a bye. It'll just be the top team gets that first round bye.
That's from now on through the future. The next year they're adding that extra game, too. But this year they added the extra playoff spot. And, I mean, you have four teams that are 7-3 in the AFC. And
a lot of great
teams. You have the Titans and Colts that are tied for the division right now. The Colts have that tiebreaker. But if the Titans were to be winning the AFC South, they'd have the tiebreaker over the Bills and be the 3 seed instead. Basically, it's probably better to be the 4 or the 5 seed than to be a 2 or 3 because you don't want to have to play Kansas City. You'd rather play the Steelers, I'd assume. Yeah.
I would love to find a way to play Cleveland if I'm in the AFC football picture. I would love to find Cleveland. I don't think they're very good. Look, out of all the good teams, out of anybody who's 7-3 or better, or at least 6-4 better, everybody's got a plus on the differential, except for the Browns. They're -23 on the year. Feels like they just can't kind of keep skating by. I feel like their luck has to run out soon. Now, granted, the Ravens don't stand out to me as a great team who's just one game behind right now, but the Browns also, what a sneaky 7-3.
Yeah, I mean, they now have to play the Titans, the Ravens, and the Steelers to close the year, as well as a Giants team that'll probably give them some trouble.
Oh, sheesh. So the Ravens, as long as they can kind of stay above water.
Well, I mean, they also, they're competing with the Dolphins, too.
Yeah, and then you get to the NFC, and it's, you got some good teams, but the NFC East is just bringing them down. Seahawks, top of their division, followed by the Rams and the Cardinals at 6-3 and 6-4. Packers are running away with the North, as they normally do about this time of the year, 7-3. About those Bears, 4 in a row they've lost now. 4 in a row, they're at 5-5. And then the Saints and the Bucks fighting for the top spot. The Saints, we're not talking much about.
They've not won dead yet.
They've won 7 in a row.
The
wow. They've won 7 in a row?
Yeah, they're 8-7 in a row. Yeah.
And a lot of people might have
I was pretty upset about no LASIK Jameis, Taysom.
Oh, Taysom Hill had a good
but I'll give
game
credit.
Like
I'll
said
give credit.
He would.
I'll give credit where credit's due. They in that specific offensive scheme, just the threat of him running and different stuff that they can do with the pre-snap motions just opens up receivers at that intermediate level a lot more than they would be when you have Drew Brees because of the different threats that you have with Taysom Hill, which then allows him to be successful even though he might not have
that
same level of accuracy.
He was their leading rusher, and not like on an accident. I mean, had 10 carries for 51
versatile.
And 2 touchdowns.
But I can't believe the Vikings blew that chance against the Cowboys. They could have been one back of the wild card, and it's still a pretty relatively easy schedule coming up, and now they're really going to have to fight to get back in there.
The fact that they were able to let Dallas kind of just hang around all game, and then at the end of the game, put up that touchdown, or both teams trading touchdowns in the fourth quarter, but Dallas puts that one in at the end with 2 minutes left. Holy smokes.
And then Justin Jefferson
bad
drops
game
the
from
first
the Vikings.
Down.
Yeah.
How about my Titans showing some gut down 11 points at the Ravens? It's a gut check game. You need it to stay alive in the AFC. Don't turn me off. You need it to stay alive. And despite all your flaws as a team, despite how bad your secondary is, your lack of a pass rush, your historically bad third down defense, and your beaten and battered offensive line, you just have some really good players on that team that are incredibly tough and gutsy, and you're able to find something deep from within to win that game.
Oh, man, I'm just now realizing we won't be here all week, so we won't get the lead in to Titans Colts.
I don't want
round
that.
Two.
I don't want to have this conversation with the Colts.
Dang it! All right, here we go back here on the Blitz, 11:37 a.m. as we are making our way through the show here on a Monday morning. You got Rick, Brandon, Charlie, and Chance hanging out with you. Hey, last chance for a couple phone calls here at the end of the show in case you'd like to jump on if you got some free time. But otherwise, we'll just kind of take you around the sports world real quick with some stories that we might have missed along the way from the weekend, some stories that we might not be able to get to later in the week, obviously. But one of these things real quick. Is a there's been a lot of NBA news over the past couple days. Just looking right here on the headlines from ESPN, you got a couple big things happened recently. Lakers and Mark Gasol have agreed on a 2-year deal. That's also in addition to the Lakers adding Dennis Schroeder.
Wes Matthews and Montrezl Harrell.
Yeah, well. Wes Matthews,
the
Montrezl
sixth man
Harrell
of the year,
and he goes from LA to LA.
Yeah, I mean there's a lot of talk that Lakers bench wasn't exactly something to write home about. Definitely beefed it up, add some 3-point shooting in Matthews, some youth in Harrell, and he's in his prime. He's six, you know, he's the reigning sixth man of the year.
Is Schroeder young? Is he considered young?
Yeah, he's still considered, like, you know, in the prime years of his career, and he's been a sixth man, I think, of the year. If not, if he didn't win the award, he's been an established sixth man in this league and established starting point guard for a long time. And then you also add a proven winner in Mark Gasol. Yes, on the back end of his career, but he's won a title.
Yeah, did it with Toronto, right?
He was a key piece with Toronto and Kawhi. And all the years in Memphis, obviously. Yeah, Lakers beefed up, and if they sign Anthony Davis in the coming weeks or months to that max deal that they're trying to get him to go ahead and sign, I mean, you're looking at a potential 2 to 3 year title run.
Speaking of a max offer, Jason Tatum has now agreed to a 5-year extension worth up to $195 million from the Boston Celtics. The full designated rookie max of $163 million could go up to nearly $200 million. With all NBA escalators, but they Celtics and Tatum got this done on Sunday, and now it is set in stone.
I'm a little. I thought he might hold out for. I mean, but I guess that's his max that he can get. Right, that's the most money. Yeah. So I was going to say
rookie could, max extension.
I was going to say he could hold out for more money, but he can't. But his next deal. That's going to be the big one in the $200 million range. And they're going to give it to him. He'll retire Celtic if they're smart.
He's a lifer.
Yeah, if they're smart, they'll keep him forever.
Another big move that was made a little bit local, in case you are a Hawks fan, as the Hawks have now signed guard Bogdan Bogdanovic to a 4-year, $72 million deal. Remember, he was supposed to go to Milwaukee, decided to can that, but this is just one of a ton of moves that the Hawks have been making over the last couple of days. The Hawks are very much trying to make it into the playoffs.
I mean, it's the East. You know, you don't have to do that much to make it. All you got to do is field some type of team. So I don't blame them. They're trying to build around Trae Young.
Mm-hmm.
They understand they got a good player in him. Somebody who's definitely generational type of star. They believe as long as he stays healthy.
They got some good guys. They got obviously Bogdanovic. They reached an agreement with Chris Dunn for 2 years. Reached an agreement with Danilo Gallinari,
mm-hmm,
for another 3-year deal. I mean, those are not, you know, just casual moves. Those are win now moves, especially as you said in the East. Man, Gallinari and Bogdanovic were both guys that I was hoping to get, and they both end up going to Atlanta. Good move by them.
Yeah, I think that's and it shows your star. You got a commitment to winning.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what they want. Just to know that the team's going in the right direction. They're actually in a place that values, you know, being contenders.
Yeah. Let's see. I got a couple more things to get into, but let me go ahead and turn it to the floor. Has anybody seen a story that we have we might have missed along the way today that you found interesting?
Brandon? Yeah, I did.
What have we missed?
Your team, your guy.
Oh, who?
Zach Wilson and the BYU Cougars.
Man, I just wanted to say that I've been on this for a year now.
They're soft.
Like ice cream.
What? What happened?
Well, what happened?
Yeah, what happened?
Well,
I mean, they covered a 50-point spread over the weekend, so I don't think
against,
they're that soft.
Against Sisters of the Poor.
Yeah, it was. Who did they play?
North Alabama.
Yeah, it was like North Alabama Lions.
It's funny because on FanDuel, every single team just has the school name: Tennessee, Florida, Kentucky, whatever. Theirs is the only school in the entire FanDuel app to have the mascot as well. Our theory is that because they really want to convince you that this is a real school. So that one says North Alabama Lions.
I got some people to go there.
No one else.
Here's what happened, Rick.
Okay, tell me.
Zach Wilson was wearing the head. He wears a headband.
I know.
Anytime or any team, anytime, any place.
Okay.
And then after that game, or maybe it was before the game. I can't remember when it was. But BYU tweeted the same thing. Their official football account. Any team, anytime, any place.
Okay.
Yeah. Next day, Bruce Feldman. Sources.
Uh-oh.
BYU turned down the opportunity to play Washington this coming weekend.
Oh, wow.
UW has reached out yesterday, but was told BYU wanted to wait until after the college football rankings Tuesday to gauge their place. Quote, it's off the table.
All right, so I thought you were definitely...
What a bunch of cowards.
Yeah, okay, I'm with you. I thought you were going to go with, you know, Zach Wilson's wearing that and the team's tweeting it out, and then they have to cancel their next game. And it's like, well, that's unfortunate, but it's not his fault.
He
but
is that, such a punchable
that,
face.
That, yeah, you can't be saying that when you did turn down a game.
You're
that's,
trying
that's a
to,
bad look right there.
You're trying to argue that you deserve that fourth spot in the playoffs, and you're scared to go play a mediocre Huskies team?
Yeah, that's a bad look.
It well, is.
There's a different report that came out last night where BYU sources are claiming that they did not say that they wanted to wait for the playoff ranking to come out, that they just wanted to ensure that they would get a game and it would be set in stone, and that the Pac-12
they wanted to gauge their place in the playoffs.
Yeah, that the
just play the damn game. The Pac, like if you're good, you're gonna make the playoffs.
They fear that the Pac-12 would try to get Arizona to play Washington on Sunday instead, so they wanted to make sure they could get the game locked in stone, and that was where the hesitation come from. Hmm. But
by the
way, I don't believe that.
Here's your top 10 right now from college football: Alabama, Notre Dame, Ohio State, 1, 2, 3, Clemson, they're fourth. Then, starting 5 to 10, you have Texas A&M, Florida, Cincinnati, BYU, Oregon, Miami.
Put Coastal Carolina.
You got Georgia
at
13.
You cowards.
Any other notables? Auburn at 22. They went up one.
Another couple storylines that we missed. JT Daniels made his first career start and played really well.
Yeah, 400-something yards and 4 touchdowns.
And Auburn basketball has banned themselves from the postseason.
Oh, Charlie, that's it. That's one of the stories that I knew that I needed today, but I couldn't find it. You're 1,000% right. They so Auburn drops self-imposed. I guess what's the word I'm looking for?
Penalties,
consequences, whatever, on themselves. Do you find it interesting that they do it in a little bit of a weird year? No, not at all.
No.
It just is what
there's
it
a
is.
Good story up at SI.com. If anybody has a chance, I'll share the link with you guys, maybe tweet it out too.
Okay.
On Auburn and everything. You don't self-impose, and it talks about this, unless you know the hammer's coming. You're trying to get out in front of it.
Yeah, because they wouldn't have done that just because it's a COVID year, because
they know they're about to get hammered.
So
they have 2 5-stars this year that are very good players that are potentially one and done players. And they wouldn't want to waste them unless they felt they had no choice.
Is your idea here with the self-imposement to basically, whenever the NCAA does come down to make the rule,
they'll show you some leniency.
We've already been taking this out on ourselves. You don't need to go that hard.
That's why universities do it. And generally when somebody self-imposes, they're still going
to
get
the
sanctions from the infractions committee. But it's like, hey, you know, can you be a little lenient on
this?
Oh,
my goodness.
Yeah, I mean, Auburn's basically saying, okay, we're going to take the penalties.
Guess what?
Hey,
guess what?
Do you have breaking news?
I have a list related directly to Auburn.
Let me play a short one.
Not the long one.
It's the short one.
Auburn 5-star may go overseas. Freshman point guard Sharif Cooper hasn't practiced in weeks and is exploring his overseas options amid the NCAA eligibility probe.
Go to the G League. Everything's set up
there.
It
might be too late to go to the G League.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Yeah,
maybe.
I don't know. Though. He might have missed his time. But, yeah, overseas. But, yeah, he's one of the names in this report by SI that strong eyes are looking at that from the NCAA infractions committee. But, yeah, come on, man. Bruce Pearl, we know what he does. Like, is he a good coach?
Yeah,
he's a good coach. Does he deal in the dark like most of the other ones? Yes, he does.
Deal in the dark.
Oh.
And the thing is, they've been trying to lie and deny, and it's catching up to him.
Yeah. You're not wrong about that. Hey, that was some good stuff right there. A little bit of just stories from around the sports world as we are getting you close to the finale of the program today. Talk Sports right outside the door right now. They're getting ready for another tremendous show as always, so make sure you're still tuned in 12 minutes for that. But make sure you don't go anywhere right now, as we'll come back in just a second to close out the show with a little If You Haven't Heard and the Days of the Day. We'll be right back. All right, here we go back here on the Blitz, 11:52 a.m. Man, it is kind of sad, though. I don't love the abbreviated week. Now, granted, I'm going to like the time to sleep in a little bit in the mornings, but it's going to be sad not to be on the show coming up here the back half of the week. But don't worry, a week from today, we'll be back, same slate as always, right here on the Blitz. Before we close out the show today, let me throw it over to my man Chance Collins, because he has something that you need to hear before you leave this program.
Yeah, so everybody, we're going to continue to hammer this home. You got to jump in on it now. FanDuel, that's right, betting is now legal in Tennessee, and our friends at FanDuel want you to go ahead and place that first bet risk-free up to $1,000 back if you don't win. That's right, your first bet on FanDuel Sportsbook, risk-free, and get up to $1,000 back if you don't win. There's no strings attached, just place any bet you want. If you win, keep the cash. If you lose, you get your entire bet up to $1,000 back in bonus site credit. So you can take another shot at the end zone on the house. Looking for something to bet tonight? Who we got on tap tonight? We got the Rams and the Bucks.
Ooh.
Maybe you want to go with Tom Brady. They bounced back a couple weeks, but look at the Rams. They're hot. They're in second place in their division right now. They are hot with Jared Goff. So you got that action tonight. You got probably more Maction this week coming up as well. You got Thanksgiving Day games that we'll even have something in store for that. And with FanDuel Sportsbook, generous risk-free bets are just the beginning. They've got a simple app. It's live betting on every game as well, and exhilarating bet types such as the same-game parlays, any touchdown scores, all the boosts, spread the love, and more, where you can combine multiple bets from one game into a single parlay, as I said, the same game. And once you win on FanDuel Sportsbook, guys, they get your money back to you in as little as 24 hours because it's the right thing to do. To claim your first risk-free bet, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and be sure to sign in with promo code Blitz so they know that we sent you. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code Blitz. As always, you must be 21 or older and present in the state of Tennessee. Site credit is non-withdrawable and expires 7 days after receipt. Terms do apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for more details. And for problem with gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789.
Man, I was looking through this article, Chance, while you were reading that just then,
yeah.
And found this article that I was like, oh, yes, we're going to get to talk about this tomorrow. It's going to be great. This is going to be awesome. The headline is ranking the top 25 players in men's college basketball. Although I just went through the list.
Mm.
No Pons, no Fulkerson. I'm kind of a little bit surprised by that. I thought one of them...
Got a little ticked.
One of them could sneak into the top 25, but hey, maybe it's better to be working from the underdog mentality spot anyways.
Yeah,
anybody got so. a good if you haven't heard for the day? We only got about a minute or so left.
Hey, wait, we have to pick the Monday night game for confidence.
We do, and also,
yes.
Bucks 7. Boom. There.
Done.
Done.
Easy enough.
Done. All he had was 7 points to pick. It was pretty easy for him. I only have 2 points left, so give me the Bucks with 2.
The Rams are going to absolutely suffocate the Buccaneers. Their defense is just so good. Aaron Donald's going to give Brady, who doesn't have mobility, all kinds of trouble, and Jalen Ramsey can guard Mike Evans. I like the Rams by double digits tonight. Give me Rams 5.
Rams come in as 4.5 points on FanDuel Sportsbook as underdogs.
Take it. Take it all day. It is my lock of the year. My lock of the century.
I love it.
Take it.
I love it when people say lock of the year. I just love it.
The lock of 2020.
I'm taking the Bucks.
Taking the Bucks.
I love both of these teams,
I don't think
though.
You know how many points you even have to put, do you?
Me?
No, he has no idea.
And I do apologize.
He didn't save, I think he should. He doesn't have any of his
saved.
Points in.
Yeah. No, I have my loss. I knew from Thursday Night Football.
I knew he didn't know because he didn't give us any points with man. That. I was like, he doesn't know how many.
So
points.
I think Rick. Man. Maybe we it's just pick. A big O for this week.
Maybe we should pick how many points he gets to put.
You know, Rick, I would love not to do that.
Well, he can go back and listen.
Right, I did say all of my picks on the radio, which let's
should
not
just
forget,
only get his 2 picks
we do a
saved.
Radio show here, ladies and gentlemen,
it's
boys
recorded.
And girls, where everything we do, the number one aspect of it is to put it out on the what? Radio. Have a great day. We'll see you back tomorrow.
Hey, it's National Cashew Day.
I got a little ahead of myself.
Stop on the national day calendar. It's also National Espresso Day. I know you guys love espressos. And it's not any state day, but it's National Eat a Cranberry Day.
Rick's picks don't count. Stop the count.
Stop the count.